This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's Friday night. It's the preview show. It's the No Nay Never podcast.
Hello and welcome to the preview show brought to you by the No Nay Never podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, but joining me as ever is the main man himself, the headliner and superstar of the preview show. It is, of course, Dave Statman Roberts. Dave, have you calmed down yet since Watford away?
Yeah, kind of. Ready for Saturday. It's another big game. They don't stop coming, do they? But we're on a good run, on a roll. So let's hope it can continue for a little while yet.
Yeah, definitely. It was very, for those of you who haven't caught it yet, the boys were in the analysis studio yesterday, picking apart that Watford result, and also looking about the implications of the really annoying Everton result on the Sunday as well, and what that kind of looks like from the league's perspective. So if you haven't yet checked that out, please do. You can get it from all good podcast providers. But Dave, I think what got me was the spirit of the win and the determination to go ahead and get 3 points. I think, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to Dash anyway, and I'm very conscious that it's very easy to say this when the poor guys have moved on clubs, but I think under Dash we probably get the equaliser, but we've often been guilty of under Dash of not going for that win. You know, we just get the point, and with so few minutes left to play, to protect that point on the basis that the point's a good point away from home regardless. But there's definitely a shift in that mentality under Jackson's side, isn't there?
There is, yeah, there definitely has been, and that has paid dividends so far.
Well, it's all to play for then still, Clarets, and we will be looking ahead at the next important fixture in a moment. But before we do that, we of course have a quiz question that we need to give our listeners an answer to. Now, before we previewed that Watford game, we asked you, Chris Wood, with 49 goals, is still Burnley's top scorer in the Clarets Premier League games, but three opposition players have scored eight goals each against Burnley in these matches. Can you name all three? This was quite a tough question, I thought, Dave. Can you please tell our listeners what the answer was, please, and let us know if anybody has given you a right answer?
Yeah, well, the top three scorers against us, against Burnley, in those 300 Premier League games to date are Harry Kane with 8, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang also with 8, and Riyad Mahrez. All three of them have scored 8 goals against Burnley in those matches. If you're interested, going down the list, we had Jamie Vardy and Sergio Aguero with 6 each. We had Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane, along with Ben Mee own goal, with 5. And then the ones with 4, there are 7 of them: Alexis Sanchez, Callum Wilson, Charlie Austin, Christian Pulisic, Mikhail Antonio, Robbie Keane and Romelu Lukaku.
Good stuff. Any correct answers, please?
One or two get in either 1 or 2, but nobody with all 3. So we didn't get a full set from anyone. So I've have stumped our listeners again.
Always, Dave, always. Well, listeners, do not fret, because you don't have to wait very much longer for a new shot at a quiz question. You just need to hang around to the end of the show. Dave will be setting us this week's quiz question right at the end.
Premier League head to head.
Okay, Dave. Well, we have a job to do. We have a Premier League fixture that we need to preview for our listeners, please. It is, of course, Aston Villa at home, Saturday the 7th of May. So 3 p.m. kickoff, not broadcast anywhere live on TV in the UK. Why don't you set off with the history of this fixture, please, starting with Premier League meetings.
Yeah, our paths have crossed with Aston Villa in four of our previous seven Premier League campaigns, meaning that this weekend will be their fifth visit to Turf Moor for a Premier League game. After a couple of draws and a defeat for Burnley, we enjoyed a memorable comeback win in January 2021 as we triumphed 3-2 in a match which many of us will recall watching on TV as it was played behind closed doors. After Burnley had levelled the scores twice through a Ben Mee header and a Dwight McNeil shot from the edge of the box, it was Chris Wood who headed in the winner. Prior to that, the two teams played out a 1-1 draw in November 2009 as an early header from skipper Stephen Caldwell was cancelled out by a late equaliser from Emil Heskey. Then in November 2014, a first half goal from Joe Cole was cancelled out when current Villa striker Danny Ings put away a late penalty to earn Burnley a draw. The other game of the four, which we haven't mentioned yet, took place on New Year's Day 2020, when Wesley and Jack Grealish put Villa 2-0 up in the first half, and despite a Chris Wood goal with 10 minutes remaining, Burnley were unable to find an equaliser. Although we're focusing on the Premier League meetings, Villa's win on New Year's Day 2020 was their first at Turf Moor since the late 1950s. And was also their first league win at Turf Moor since 1936. Since Burnley were champions of England in 1960, Villa have played at Turf Moor 16 times. They've lost 9, drawn 6 in all competitions, as well as that win on New Year's Day 2020. So with our only home Premier League win being so recent, we've decided to go back in time a little bit further in pursuit of a suitable game to choose as our memory match.
Memory match!
Yeah, go on then. Why don't you tell us what that memory match is?
As I've mentioned already, there are plenty of past Burnley home wins over Aston Villa to choose from. But we've gone back to November 1966 for a 4-2 win in which one notable player who represented both clubs during his career scored all four of Burnley's goals to delight the Turf Moor crowd. After suffering four defeats in the previous five games, Burnley got back on track with a victory. But the result remained in doubt until the last 10 minutes of the game, as the late, great Andy Lockhead provided a devastating display of goal scoring. I've recently started adding in some Burnley Express headlines to provide some additional context for the Burnley Stats Match Database, starting with a period from the 1940s to the 1960s. So I can tell you that Keith McNee's Burnley Express Match Report included the following headline: Ruthless Lockhead Hit Devastating Form. In terms of the game, Burnley trailed at the break as a chip goal by Johnny McLeod had given the visitors the advantage. Andy Lockhead equalised after 58 minutes, finishing with a left-footed shot after a shot from Gordon Harris had been blocked. And it was also Andy Lockhead who gave Burnley the lead 4 minutes later as he finished with his right foot this time from a left-wing cross. Villa rallied, though, and drew level again after 79 minutes, when Johnny McLeod intercepted a back pass from Lockhead and set up Lou Chatterley to find the net past Adam Blacklaw. Andy Lockhead soon atoned for this error, though, and a minute later beat Colin Withers with a right-footed shot to complete his hat-trick, and then added another with a trademark header to make it 4-2 after 85 minutes.
Club Connection!
Now, our next section is one that I'd completely forgotten about, Dave, and it took me by surprise when we were doing our pre-recording run-through, and that is, of course, a club connection. Because, of course, this is the first time we've played Villa this season, Dave.
It's a strange one. Yes, we're in May, and we haven't played them yet, so we're kind of going back in time to the first half of the season when we did the club connection section and looking back at some of the players who've played for both teams. I've already mentioned Andy Lockhead, sadly died in March of this year in the recap of our chosen memory match, and he remains a legend at both clubs. But let's take a look at the other players who have played for Burnley and Aston Villa since the Second World War. In addition to Andy Lockhead, there's also been Doug Winton, Tony Morley, Terry Donovan, Adrian Heath, Gordon Cowans, Gareth Farrelly, Gary Cahill, Pete Whittingham, Eric Jemba-Jemba, Joey Gudjohnson, Gabo Kirai, Nathan Delfonso, Tom Heaton, Peter Crouch and Danny Drinkwater. And in addition to those 16 players, there are also three who are currently on Burnley's books. That's Ashley Westwood, Phil Barnsley and Matt Lowton, as well as current Villa striker Danny Ings, who spent time at Liverpool and Southampton after leaving Burnley before a move to Villa Park at the start of this season.
Interesting stuff. Some good names on there. It's been quite a strong connection between the two clubs, hasn't there, over the years?
Certainly has.
What about on this day then, Dave? What have you picked for us following the same date from previous years?
On this day!
We've got a smaller pot to pick from this time. We're into May, and many seasons from the past ended in April. So there are just 13 past Burnley matches to choose from this time in our On This Day section. Burnley have just 4 wins from those past games. So let's go back and see if we can uncover some notable results. The final league game of the 1920-21 season was a 2-2 draw against Sunderland at Turf Moor. The Clarets had already been crowned as champions in a season that included a record-breaking run of 30 league games unbeaten. On this day in 1932, Jack Kelly scored the only goal as Burnley beat Nottingham Forest 1-0 at Turf Moor in the final league game of that season. And that was it until after World War II. In 1949, Harry Potts' early goal was cancelled out by a second-half strike from Stan Mortensen as Burnley drew 1-1 with Blackpool at Bloomfield Road in the season's final game. And in 1963, Ian Towers scored the only goal in a 1-0 away win at Leyton Orient, which left Burnley in fourth place. Due to the severe winter, Burnley still had 2 matches left to play that season. 1966 saw our first defeat on 7th of May, as an unfortunate Alex Elder own goal gifted Leeds United a 1-0 win at Turf Moor. And then there was just one match in the 1970s. That was a 3-1 home win over Notts County in 1977. A player we mentioned as playing for both sides, Tony Morley, he scored 2 of Burnley's goals in that match. In 1983, as Burnley struggled for second division survival, we picked up a point in a 1-1 draw at home to Grimsby Town, where we could have really done with all 3. The following year, 1984, saw a heavy 4-0 away defeat against Scunthorpe United at the old showground. And in 1988, we thought that a late George Agani goal had earned us a home draw against Cardiff, until Jimmy Gilligan scored a late winner in a match which was marred by some unnecessary disruption from pitch invasions in the closing stages. Despite losing the last league game of the 1993-94 season, 4-1 at Exeter City on 7th of May 1994, sixth place Burnley recovered to earn promotion via the playoffs after getting past Plymouth Argyle and Stockport County. But the last game of the following season, on 7th of May 1995, that was a 1-1 draw against Bolton Wanderers at Burnden Park, with the Clarets already resigned to relegation back to the third tier. There have been 2 more games since the year 2000. In 2011, a J. Rodriguez goal was cancelled out by a late equaliser from Craig Bellamy, as we drew 1-1 with Cardiff City at Turf Moor. And then in 2016, there was a memorable trip to the Valley to see Burnley beat Charlton Athletic 3-0, continuing a run of 23 undefeated and confirming the championship title. Sadly, the only trophy on display that day was inflatable. So to summarise, Burnley have won 4, drawn 5 and lost 4 of 13 previous matches on this date, with 16 goals for and 18 against.
Good stuff.
Scouting report!
Well, that brings us up to speed with the history of this fixture, Dave, so why don't you bring us bang up to date with the future, starting with our scouting report.
As we're in the rather unusual situation of this being the first time we've played each other this season, we haven't yet had a chance to give you our lowdown on Aston Villa. However, as we play the home game this weekend and then the return fixture at Villa Park just 12 days later, then we're going to try our best to split the content and not repeat ourselves too much in our scouting report section. Stephen Gerrard left Rangers to take up the Villa Park hot seat in November of last year. That was after the departure of Dean Smith. After starting with a 4-3-3 formation, Stephen Gerrard's used a variety of formations, including 4-4-2, 4-3-2-1 and 4-1-4-1. The one constant has been a back four. And for their last Premier League match, that was a central defensive partnership of Callum Chambers and Tyrone Mings. with Matty Cash and Luca Dean as fullbacks, playing in front of Emi Martinez. Ollie Watkins played as a lone striker. That was in the match against Norwich City. Tim Arogunam played a holding defensive midfield role with Coutinho, Jacob Ramsey, John McGinn and Leon Bailey in front of him. Danny Ings came off the bench in the second half and combined with another substitute, Emi Buendia, to score Villa's second goal. We're going to save the recap of Villa's 2021-22 transfer activity and their best performing players for when we have the return fixture, which takes place at Villa Park a week on Thursday, that's the 19th. But in terms of missing players for Saturday, there appear to be three players who are ruled out. They are Morgan Sanson, Leon Bailey and Courtney House.
Well, you've heard what we think about our opposition for the weekend, but you know we don't like to leave it there. We like to bring you some updates from the actual fans of the club themselves. This week, we are joined by Cole Patton, who is the host of the Holtcast podcast, and he's going to tell us how he's feeling ahead of this weekend's game in our opposition view.
Opposition view!
Hello, No Nay Never listeners. This is Cole Petum from the 7500 to Holt Holtcast podcast and Aston Villa podcast. I've been asked by the lads over on the pod to kind of give a little inside scoop into the comings and goings and proceedings of Aston Villa Football Club and kind of look at Saturday's game as a whole as it comes up at Turf Moor. So kind of to dive into the Villa perspective, how has this season went? Well, unless you've been living under a rock, it's been quite an eventful one for Villa as a whole. Of course, starting the season, losing Jack Grealish in the summer, then Dean Smith kind of having a little bit of an unbalanced start, a little bit of uptick, beat United 1-0 at Old Trafford, which never happens for Villa as long as I can remember, to be honest, if not longer. All was going good, and then it went bad with five losses on the bounce. Dean Smith gets sacked. Don't really know what's going to go on. Stevie G comes in and saves the day. Uptick in form. Downtick. Uptick. Four losses on the bounce. A draw against Leicester. A win against Norwich. And now we're basically where we are right now heading into Saturday. It's definitely been a very, very dismal season from the high, high hopes many villains really thought we would hit. Basically from the very end of last season. I think last season we finished on roughly 55 points. We're at 40 right now with, what, four games to play. Still haven't played Burnley yet this season, which in May is extremely odd. But you know what? The last 2 years have been extremely odd, so it is what it is. So Burnley to play twice. Of course, we still have to play Palace as well. And our old friend Jack Grealish on the final day, Man City. Should be very, very interesting. Hopefully we can get a little result there and kind of screw them over a little bit. But anyways, you can tell I have no hard feelings. But yeah, in a kind of little bit of a gist, this season has been massively underwhelming for us Villa fans, as I've kind of stated before. And I mean, it's just been one unbalanced thing after another. And hopefully heading into the summer, we can finish this season a little bit stronger than we started it. Hope for better things to come under Steven Gerrard's reign as a Villa boss. Still a little bit skeptical, but nonetheless, I will give the man some time and hopefully he turns things around. But anyways, going over to the game on Saturday at Turf Moor, it's going to be a tricky one to call. I mean, I say that Villa don't particularly do well against physical sides, and for some reason, every time Villa play Burnley, I'm never that confident. Of course, we beat them, or you guys, I should say, 2-0 in the 2019-2020 season at Turf Moor. I think that was the Boxing Day game where Wesley got hurt and all that controversy came about. Aside from that, I think of last year's events where we lost 3-2, 2-1 leaders, and then somehow just threw that away. Oh, so typical Villa at times. So it's going to be a mixed bag. Really, ever since Sean Dyche has left, Michael Jackson has Burnley playing still a physical style of play, but you're showing a little bit more creativity and expressing yourselves a little bit more on the pitch. So as pleasing as that can be for some on the eye, I guess for an opposition standpoint, you really never know what you're going to get. But I'm going to go with a 1-1 scoreline. I feel like a draw is probably due here. That gets us to 41, gets you guys to 37. I think Burnley will be safe, but nonetheless, we'll have to wait and see what comes the end of the season. But anyways, thanks for having me on, lads, and Might as well say it now, but up the Villa.
What about the referee then, Dave? Who's in the middle at the weekend?
We've got David Coote. He's a Nottingham-based official. He's already taken charge of two Burnley matches so far this season. He was at Turf Moor in August on the opening day of the campaign as Brighton came from behind to snatch all 3 points. And he was also the official in charge for our away game at the Emirates against Arsenal in January. And that match ended 0-0. I don't think he had a particularly convincing performance in either of those games, but hopefully we won't be bemoaning his performance at 5 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. In terms of all of his past matches involving Burnley, we have 5 wins, 5 draws and 4 defeats in his previous 14 games in all competitions, including the Championship, and it's 3 Burnley wins out of 9 for Premier League matches only. He's yet to show a red card to any player in those 14 previous Burnley games, but you may recall that just under 12 months ago, he failed to send off Fulham goalkeeper Alphonse Areola for a blatant handball outside his box, which denied Matty Vidra a goal-scoring opportunity. Thankfully, on that occasion, it didn't affect the result, and Burnley still went on to win that vital away game at Craven Cottage. Finally, for this section, Paul Tierney, he'll be the video assistant referee on Saturday afternoon.
And I know you don't want to leave it there, Dave, because you like to spoil our listeners. So why don't you dive deep into those pockets of yours and let our listeners have your miscellaneous stat of the week.
Statman Dave's stat of the week.
This week's stat relates to a Burnley player, relates to Jack Cork. He's never been prolific in front of goal, and his equaliser at Watford was the first time he'd found the net since he scored against Liverpool at Turf Moor way back in December 2018. Jack Cork has now scored 11 goals for Burnley, going right back to his time on loan from Chelsea more than a decade ago. Remarkably, 9 of those 11 goals, including his vital equaliser at Watford last Saturday, have been headers. The only goals he scored for Burnley with his feet were the extra-time winner over Istanbul Başakşehir in the Europa League qualifier in August 2018, and that goal he scored against Liverpool in the Premier League a few months later. Hopefully, he won't leave it quite so long to find the net again.
Oh, fingers crossed. It makes a change that is actually being played. I think that probably makes a difference, doesn't it? So how are you feeling ahead of this weekend, Dave? It must feel much more comfortable knowing that we are out of the relegation zone. And actually, for the first time in a long time, it's completely in our own hands now with survival this season.
I don't feel comfortable. I think the position we're in, you know that you're playing a game and you can only control what you're doing, and you've got other teams who are playing that weekend as well. And you know that if you slip up, there's always a chance that the other teams can get wins. So I'll be happy, I think, if we can go into the last game of the season and we don't have to get a result. That'll be the ultimate situation to be in. We've got a long way to go before then. We've got 3 vital games, 2 against Aston Villa, home and away, and obviously the game against Spurs. And we need to get some points from those games. If we can get 4, 6, or you know, even better than that in terms of points, then that's going to get us up there. And the fact that we're in there with 2 other teams and not just one, that makes a difference now, I think. When it was just us and Everton, now Leeds have been drawn into it. It does spread the risk a little bit from that perspective. So I think that definitely helps Burnley.
The Leeds thing's critical, Dave, because we now no longer need to really be that bothered about what Everton do, because all we need to do now is better Leeds, or either match
equal,
or
better, because we've got a much better goal difference.
Yeah, all we need to do is equal Leeds results this season, and we're safe. Yes. They go down. So actually, we no longer, you know, Everton could win all remaining 5 of their games for all we care. It doesn't, you know, that's not going to affect us. Whereas before, it was just a 2-horse race, and it was just us and Everton, and we were having to rely on them to maintain this terrible form that we're in. And it's very difficult when they've had an awful season, and they've very much deserved to be in the relegation zone. But they do have still got some class in that side. They've got some talent that can turn a game around. We saw it at the weekend. But so to me, I don't think people have fully comprehended just how important it is that we've dragged Leeds into this. turning to the weekend's game, then obviously out of all of these fixtures that we've got, Aston Villa at home is the absolute dream one. It's the one that we want. Mike Jackson's still in charge. We expect the lineup to probably be the same. I mean, you must be feeling confident that we're going to get a decent result at the weekend. I can't see us losing, Dave, at all.
Well, all three results are possible, and Burnley do tend to put us through the grinder. We don't always get the results we expect. But yeah, based on the previous performances, and the results we've got, we're going in with some momentum. You look at the table as well, in terms of the form table. We've had 13 points from our last six games. That obviously includes the last two with Sean Dyche in charge. We're level on points with Spurs, and there's only Man City and Liverpool with more points. Aston Villa, meanwhile, they've picked up just 4 points from their last six games. There's only Watford, who've got 3 points, who have fewer. So certainly in terms of form going into the game, it's definitely in Burnley's favour, but we need to be very careful. We need to make sure that we can, as I say, build on that momentum and get a positive result on Saturday.
Yeah. What's the injury situation then ahead of that game, Dave?
Well, J. Rodriguez, it was an odd one, wasn't he? He was named in the team and then he had a tight hamstring in the, well, literally not just before kickoff. I think it was quite a surprise when it came out and it was Matty Vidra instead of him on the pitch. Mm. So he's a doubt, I guess, still. He's not maybe 50-50. Maxwell Cornet is still a doubt. Ben Mee's back out on the grass training, but I guess it's going to be probably too early for him.
Yeah.
Eric Peters is definitely going to be involved by the sounds of it. He's been back on the grass and trained all week. Other longer-term injuries we know about, Ashley Westwood's had his ankle operation, so he's going to be out of action for a while. And as we know, Johan Berg-Gudmundsson is made of glass, so that's kind of the that's the, the injury situation.
That's very sassy for you, Dave. I like it. Go on then, give me a prediction. Actually, you threw me then with the JBD comment. What's your prediction then for the game, Dave?
I'm going to go for a win, but I don't think it'll be easy. I think it's going to be a 2-1 win.
Doesn't matter. The Wolves win wasn't easy. 2-1 win. Who's going to score?
I think we're going to get a Tarkey header.
Ooh. Is that the name?
And we're going to get... Dwight's going to get a goal. Dwight's
due. Oh, I'd love Dwight to get a goal. I think he's had just the roughest of seasons. He's had a manager he clearly wasn't getting along with, and there was some friction there. He's fell out with the fans halfway through the season. The fans really got in his case and gave him a hard time. And he's under a new manager, thriving a little bit. And gosh, I'd really love him to get a goal. That would be ace. I'm also going to predict a win, Dave, which will not surprise you at all. I'm going to say we're going to win 2-0. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet. I'm going to go for a vout from something like a corner, but like a kick or something like that. And I'm going to say Dwight as well. Listeners, you know the drill by now. Please, we want your predictions ahead of the weekend's game. Can you please tell us the scoreline? Who scored? Presuming that you're not picking a 0-0. And how they scored, please. You can tweet us at None and Ever. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page, or you can email us at podcast. No, that's not the one. Preview show at noneandever.net.
Fantasy Premier League update.
Dave, section two of the preview show. We're actually going to be able to give you an FPL update this week, aren't we?
We are, yes. We weren't able to last time, although we had a very packed show, didn't we, with Ian Dennis on for the last preview show we did. So it didn't work out too badly from that point of view. But yes, we can bring our listeners and our FPL managers back up to date with the latest league table. If you would like me to go ahead and give the update.
Yeah, please. Go.
Okay, so once again, I have a top 10 countdown, which I promised I would do when we're able to between now and the end of the season. So let's find out who's still in with a chance of emulating last season's winner. That was Sean Danaher. We have got in 10th place, Chris Stanworth. Chris Horner's in 9th. Our own Adam Dennett is in 8th place. Will Cooper in 7th. Luke Lambert is in 6th. Callum Davis is a climber up to 5th. We've got lots of familiar names here. Been up at the table, top of the table for quite a while. Dec Clark in 4th place. Ursay in 3rd. Jacob Sapwell in 2nd. But leading the way, I think it's a non-mover because we've had 2 weeks in between. We've got Tall Paul is our leader with 2,334 points, a lead of 30 at the top.
There are some familiar names in there. There's a lot of familiar names that we've known through social media for a long time. And obviously, I've mentioned this before, Tall Paul is somebody I know on a personal level, so I'm excited for him. But how can we not be supporting our very own Adam Dennett from The Analysis Show? I'm conflicted here, Dave. I'm very conflicted. I don't remember seeing my name in the top 10. Have you, like...
Just outside, I think, yeah.
Okay, just out, like 10th and a half. Okay. Well done to... We've skipped a bit. April's Manager of the Month.
Yes, we've got... So we can reveal now that April's Manager of the Month, because we're now into May. All the weeks and the games from April are complete. And I can reveal that the winner for April's Manager of the Month is Callum Davis.
Excellent.
Who accumulated a very impressive 398 points in the month of April. In second place was Aidan Thompson with 371, and David Entwistle, who had been leading for a while, was in third place with 345.
Excellent. Well done, Callum. Do remember to get in touch with us, please, because we got to send you your prize for the April Manager of the Month, which is, of course, an On and Ever sticker. Very great. Get in touch, please. What about the FPL Cup then, Dave? What's going on with that? I keep forgetting about that because I got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, I've kind of forgotten about that, but we can give an update now. We've got down to the last eight. So basically this week, the coming game week is going to be the last eight. It'll be the semi-final for game week 37. And then the last game week, at the end of the season, will be the final. So we've got, in our last eight, we've got Edward Taylor versus Craig Smith. We've got Jason Howarth against Basil Ilenikena. We've got Aidan Thompson against Kieran Knott. And we've got Callum Davis against Lee Banks. So that's our final eight. And that's surprisingly, that those names, there's one or two in there in the top 10, but there are other names from outside. So the cup competition does give an element of differentiation and allows other players to progress. So it's good. It adds to the interest, certainly for those who were left in.
Yeah, it certainly does. I hope they do that again next season, actually, because...
I think they will.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to pay even more attention next season to FPL than I have done this season.
That wouldn't be difficult, would it?
Hey, Dave, right. I finished way higher up the table this season than I did last season. Like, I've improved this year quite a lot.
You had Mo Salah in your team when he was still at AFCON.
I did. But then you kindly reminded me that I was supposed to change my team. Look, that was a blip in the season. I'm still finishing higher this season than I did last season. It's an improvement. So next season, I'm going to finish higher than you. I've lost my place now on the script. Where are we? Oh, team of the week. Where's the latest team of the week, please, Dave?
The theoretical best team of the week would have been worth 130 points plus double points, whichever player was selected as captain. But the best score of any manager, that's out of the 9 million plus, was 129, and the average was 44. So well done if you at least scored above average points. Anyway, here's the best 11 from last week, including two Burnley players. We've got the team in a 5-4-1 formation. So we had Jordan Pickford in goal. In defence, we had a couple of Man United players and a couple of Arsenal players. So we had Varane, Telles, Gabriel and Holding. We had Diaz of Manchester City in there as well. That was the back five. Our midfield four included two Burnley players. We had Josh Brownhill and Jack Court, the two goal scorers, along with Bissouma of Brighton and Heung-Min Son of Tottenham, and Danny Welbeck of Brighton up front on his own. The high scorer of all those 11 players was Heung-Min Son, who got 19 points. Very impressive.
Very impressive indeed. Due to lots and lots and lots of rearranged fixtures between now and the end of the season, it's actually possible that this may be the last FPL update that we're able to do for you before all of the remaining preview shows are done, mainly because they're all likely to be recorded with some matches still outstanding. So we actually think, me and Dave worked this out before we started recording, we think that this might be the last update before we reveal the final placings in the last preview show of the season. Dave, goodness me, that's a cliffhanger. That's going to be, you know, this is it now, guys. You have got three match weeks left to use all your bonus chips to really think about your transfers and get up that table as quickly as you can. And we will be revealing who has won the 2022 None and Ever FPL League in the last preview show.
And Cup.
Oh, yes, and cup. We're going to need to do two prizes this year. Listeners, I didn't think this through. I'm going to have a word with producer Matt. Matthew, we're going to need two prizes this year. Anyway, moving on, Dave. Let's deflect that by giving our listeners this week's quiz question, please.
Statman Dave's quiz question.
I hope I've made this slightly easier this week. I think I was getting a bit of flack for making the questions too difficult. So this week's quiz question, and there were some clues earlier in the show, relates to the player we mentioned for our stat of the week. And the question is, against which team did Jack Cork score his first Burnley goal, and what was the year?
Ooh, well, how do our listeners get in touch to submit their answers, please, Dave?
You can tweet us or send us a direct message on Twitter. That's at NoNayNever. You can email us to the dedicated email address we've got, which is previewshow@nonayNever.net, or you can also reply to the post we're going to put up for the preview show on either the No Nay Never Facebook page or on YouTube.
Great. And then the answer to this quiz question will be revealed at the start of our next preview show, which is for our away trip to Spurs. That takes place at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium next Sunday. That episode should be available for you to listen to next Friday, as usual. Before we let our lovely listeners go then, Dave, please, what have we got in terms of community news?
Well, firstly, a regular reminder to bring a tin for the bin. Central Lancs Clarets are going to be accepting your donations of tinned items at the collection points around Turf Moor prior to Saturday afternoon's match. So please bring something along if you're able to, as the Burnley FC and the Community Kitchen Food Bank is now helping more people from the local community than ever before. And a couple of well-dones. Firstly, to the incredible support of the 2,200 Clarets fans who made the trip to Watford last week. Your voices were heard loud and clear, and I think we even had a little clip in the analysis show, didn't we?
We did. And
with away wins being quite a rarity this season, it must have been wonderful to be there in person to see those two late goals, which resulted in another vital 3 points. And also thanks to around 200 people who attended the fundraising anniversary dinner at Turf Moor last Saturday. The sale of tickets for the night, along with generous donations for the raffle and auction, helped to raise a very healthy amount of money for Captain Fantastic, John Pender. It was great to see the 1991-92 Fourth Division champions return to Turf Moor, and the reception given to all the players, and especially to John Pender himself, was not only vociferous, but very moving too. I can definitely recommend that you go along to the next Burnley Former Players event, whenever that might be. It's yet to be arranged, but I'm sure there'll be ones coming up in the future.
Yeah, I think you're kind of in the know with that now, though, Dave, aren't you? You're going to be our Former Players Association correspondent, I think, next season, aren't you? You've been...
I'll hopefully bring whatever news I can on that next season.
Excellent. Yeah, well, there you go. I'm just giving you more jobs to do, Dave, because you're not quite busy enough. Definitely. I mean, that's all really, really great news. The crowd at the Watford game was incredible. It did us all immense pride. I think we had most of Team None and Ever was there, and... I genuinely thought we were going to lose George at some point. Bless him. And I think Tom was a little bit incoherent as well. And Rich, I think we've got so many great photos from all of us. I'll share them on social media this week as well. It was very funny. That's all we've got time for then, listeners. My thanks go to everybody who has contributed to making this podcast, to Cole Petum, is it Petum or Patum? Petum, I think, for providing us with an opposition view. Turf Moor Stadium announcer Dominic Walker for his specially recorded preview show announcements. To producer Matt for getting all of this together and getting it out onto the airwaves. And of course, Dave Statman Roberts for just putting in a phenomenal amount of work to get the preview show out there. Last but by no means least, you, the listeners, for downloading and listening to this episode. Your support is very much appreciated, and we would not be here without you. The analysis show should be back on Tuesday as normal, looking back on what will hopefully be a fourth successive win in the Premier League and keep the Mighty Clarets out of the relegation zone. And Dave and I will be back next Friday night, as usual, looking ahead to that away trip to Spurs. Do take care of yourselves and your loved ones in the meantime. This has been the preview show brought to you by the None and Ever podcast. Until next time.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.